At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
How come I take up so much more of the screen than you?
You're closer.
That's what it is. Okay. It's the angle.
Okay.
That camera. The camera is a lot closer to you, to be fair.
Something like that.
Yeah, we could say that.
What's
the
camera add 15 pounds?
I think so.
Yep. Yeah. It adds it to the closest person, too.
Well, quit magnifying.
You got my 15 pounds, too.
That's right.
Oh, shoot. We are going to talk about something this week that I thought about it. I think it was like a week and a half ago. I saw a YouTube video, and it just kind of hit me the wrong way because, like, I don't understand. I understand why people do it because it's for clicks. That's the only reason they keep doing this kind of stuff. But the specific video, and I don't know who put it up, but they had that CJ Alexander on again, the one that poached that giant deer out wherever, and it was like the real story or whatever bullcrap. All those people, and then there's that one famous poacher down in Texas or whatever that everybody talks about.
Prince of poachers.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. I don't understand why people like give them such a platform and talk about them like they do. Like that guy is like an idol for some people.
Yeah.
Because he's killed all these big deer. Well, yeah, he did it illegally.
Yep.
To me, that the reason they do it is for like the clout, right? Like, take the CJ guy, for example. Like, all the texts and stuff that he was sending his wife or his girlfriend or whatever about how all this is going to change our lives and
we're
going to
be rich.
Money. Yeah, like, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like he's only sorry now because he got caught.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
If he would have been sorry about it, he wouldn't have done it to begin with.
Exactly. That guy, the only reason he's saying he is because he got caught doing it. Had he never been found out, and had they thought that it was legal and all on the up and up, he would have never said nothing to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have wrote it out for everything it was worth.
Yeah.
But we keep putting these kind of people, not we. I purposely never talked about that the whole bunch because I try to stay away from like those hot button, if you will, unless I think it really matters. So like the rewilding thing, I think that really matters because it could affect a whole lot of things. But as far as like just the clickbait stuff or just talking about it so you can get clicks, which is what a lot of people do with these poachers, and that's why they keep giving them platform. That's why they keep talking
about it. And they're hurting us because they're just keeping giving us a bad name by promoting that crap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to like say, hey, like to report on it almost and say, hey, this happened. Like, and I understand talking about it because it should be talked about. It. Like, hey, this is giant buck that was potentially a world record. The guy who killed it's a piece of crap and he poached it. Right? Like, you can talk about that, but to continuously have him on podcasts and keep inviting him on to come tell his story or
even years later after the fact, and he's proven guilty of poaching.
Mm-hmm. And just blow smoke about how, oh, I'm sorry, I wish I wouldn't have done it, this and that and the other. Like, give me a break.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
I don't get it. And you're right. It's a bad look for everybody because
we're just feeding it to the PETA to push banning of hunting because they see, oh, this person, the only thing he cares about is the money and the clout that comes with shooting a deer like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no respect to the deer.
Yeah. Like overall, that buck was just exploited for everything he ever was, you know, for that guy trying to get personal gain, not doing it right. Yeah, that's no good.
No, and you said at one time, talking about that deer, like, not that you feel bad for the deer, but, like, the situation, like, that's a world record type of deer that somebody could have actually been, like, celebrated, and, like, he could have been...
Oh, yeah.
That could have been a trophy, like, legit, and then now it's just...
Yeah.
The CJ Alexander buck.
And poached deer.
Yeah.
Yep. Wasn't it on like a judge or an attorney's ground or someone? He spent a lot of time.
Yeah. I think it was wasn't it the state's attorney?
Yeah.
And like he hunted, like he knew about the deer.
Mm-hmm.
I If I were to have like a really big deer like that, and then somebody posted, you know, like I'd be so mad. Like, you know, you took an opportunity away from me or some of the neighbors, or anybody. That thing could go anywhere.
Yeah.
But like, you know, somebody that could actually done it honestly, and they'd be proud of it. And then this guy's just trying to kill it and sell it, you know, for whatever he could. Like he was texting his girlfriend about how we could buy a house with the money that I can sell this thing for. Like that's just stealing.
Yeah.
You know, and killing a wild animal, you know, in the process. I don't know.
It's just pissing on Mother Nature at that point.
It's one of those deals, too, where it's different. Like, we fall into this trap a lot of times of saying, well, that's my deer because I had a picture of him or my buck or I've got this deer and he's...
Ain't no one's deer.
Right. That's one thing to have that attitude and then your neighbor kills it the right way and then you're all ticked off about your neighbor killing it. Like, it wasn't your deer, right? Mm-hmm. It's nobody's deer. He just is out there, and he happened to be on your property a few times.
The state certainly claims him, I'll tell you that.
You're right.
Until you hit it with your car.
Yeah. No, then it wasn't ours.
But like what you're talking about, where you have pictures of this deer, and if he's like any of the rest of us that are hunting, like that is driving his season probably, and who knows if he spent money on food plots and the time that he spends away from his family or whatever to try to hunt, to try to kill this thing, because it would be a buck of a lifetime. It was a buck of a lifetime.
That's about all he thinks about.
Exactly. Like, if he's like any of the rest of us, you know he's thinking about that deer all the time, and everything he's got, he's planning towards wanting that opportunity, because it is an awesome... That's a career buck for a deer hunter, and like that could change your life. Like, literally could change your life in a good way if you do it the right way.
Yeah.
Obviously, it changed his for the worse. Well, jury's out on that, I guess, because we keep throwing him out there and giving giving him a name for it. But that, is like you're saying, is completely different, because it is stealing from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that deer lives and dies of old age. But they still would have had the opportunity to hunt it and go out there and potentially kill him, versus now some guy who just wanted the fame from it is out there doing it illegally on property he shouldn't be on, and all that
trespassing.
And that's to me where the poaching thing all stems from, is just
greed.
Exactly. And to me, the reason I don't really get it is because that don't do it for me. Yeah, I've seen big bucks in the headlights and thought, man, he'd look really good on the wall. But for me, if I just pulled out a 243 and shot the thing on the side of the road at night...
It does nothing for you.
No, I don't do it for me.
Mm-mm.
It's because at that point, it's all about...
The clout.
And the antlers. And the clout you get from having those antlers versus where, like... To me, it's about the whole process and the hunt and actually...
Mm-hmm. What it's supposed to be about.
Yeah, the sport of it, the experience, sharing that with your buddies and whatever, and now sharing it with everybody on the show and everything like that. But that's where all that comes from. Like that Prince of Poaching guy, like he's killed all these giant deer where he shouldn't have been and how he shouldn't have done it. So he still has made a name for himself, I guess, and maybe if you ask him, it's worked out for him. I don't know, but like to me, I can't get myself to that place where I'm like so focused on just having this buck on the wall and saying I killed it that I'm willing to do it that way, because it just does... That wouldn't do anything for me.
Nah.
The thing is, though, if one of us, or anybody really, that shoots a big deer like that, you're going to have so much scrutiny that people's just going to be so jealous.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to say you poached it, even though if one of us did it, we know we're going to be right.
Yep.
But people's going to be so jealous that they'll say they poached it.
Yeah, and even like in our case, where if we did it, and let's say me and you go out this year and you kill a 190-inch deer and I'm filming
it. I hope you're right.
If we filmed the entire thing, got that buck from the first time we saw him, you in the video, whatever, somebody's, like you said, somebody's going to be jealous. And I guarantee you if we do that, somebody is going to be jealous and they're going to say, oh, they poached it. There's no way that could have been real, even though it'd be all on video.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is because, yes, people are jealous. The other part of that is because of guys like these poachers we're talking about.
We keep promoting that, and there's been so many cases of it.
Yeah, and it's like, well, that's the only way anybody can kill those type of deer.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that conversation with Dusty before. He said somebody told him one time, well, anybody around here that's killed more than a handful of 180-inch deer, they've probably poached them. And it's just a way, because of the people who have poached them and the rumors that are out there around those people and the people who have been caught and these people who they keep propping up, like, of course people are going to think that.
It's also a mindset. Like, people just don't put the work in, too. Like, Dusty outworks all three of us, probably.
Oh, yeah.
They can't fathom.
Yeah, the amount of work that Dusty does do. And
right.
Deserves those deer.
Right. And anybody else, for that matter, who has killed even a couple, even a 180-inch deer. Like, how much time and money do you spend on your home farm there every year? Never as much as you'd like to, obviously. None of us as much as you'd like to. But to finally have a chance to kill that 180-inch buck a couple, 3 years ago, whatever it is now. Like,
It feels like a ton of money every year. My wife says it's a ton of money every year.
How much money does she spend, though?
We're not supposed to talk about that, right? Yeah, no, I mean, I don't have too much there at home. A lot of people got a lot more, but I got more than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I have tried to make it everything that I can based on how it lays and where I can come in from and everything. And aside from, like, when it comes out of CRP and everything, I've thought, what am I going to do, you know, in a few years when that comes out? Mm-hmm. Am I going to try to put it back in, or am I going to just do my own thing? And I've thought about that, and that would be thousands more dollars.
Right.
To set it up and plant stuff the way I might do it if it comes out of the program.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I mean, every year we're spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on food plots, not to mention the thousands and thousands of dollars, tens of thousands in equipment that we've acquired, mm-hmm. you know, to do all this. And like, we don't use this. We use a tractor for other stuff.
But, and what's your time worth?
Yeah. Right now it feels like an incredible amount.
Right.
But anyway, I mean, we do all this stuff to try to set ourselves up for the best possible success, to do what we're out here, you know, trying to do what we like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not. It's hard to, like, I had pictured that deer for 3 years, watched him, you know. It's hard to not feel like they're at least somewhat yours.
Right.
I know they're not, and I don't ever want to say that they are, but at least feel like they're within grasp,
mm-hmm.
right? Because he's
kind of... You do have that chance. That...
He's kind of at your fingertips.
Right.
You know, like, you're watching him. You think you got him figured out kind of what he's doing. And you're playing the game and everything. The neighbors could stumble out there and kill him at any time. You know,
right.
He could get ran over by a car tonight. Mm-hmm. But they kind of feel like they're within reach. And then for somebody to just blast them, you know, off the road, or be slipping in there and poaching, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my share of people crowding the lines that ain't supposed to be there, you know. We run into that last year. Blake caught them guys for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that aggravates the thunder out of me, you know, to think somebody's going to get in there and take that from me, take that opportunity from me. Or Kaylee, I mean, you know, and then in the future, even Royce.
Yeah.
You know, I just, the idea that somebody is willing to do that, like, I couldn't think about doing that to somebody else. And there's people that just, they don't care. There's no respect. You know, for the animal, for anybody else that's hunting that animal. I mean, and that just, those people should not be glorified or promoted.
No, because you take a guy like you or anybody in this room, or, you know, there's how many people out there that put in all that work, more work than us, more money than us, mm-hmm. and have killed more bigger deer than us, and nobody knows anything about them. And maybe they prefer it that way, and that's fine. But those people should be celebrated way more than these pieces of you know what that go out there and do it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it's so backwards in the media because it's what gets clicks.
It's all clickbait.
Yeah. People aren't, when they see the thumbnail of Joe Blow that's just has a wall full of really nice deer because he's done it all the right way and whatever, like they won't click on that. But as soon as they see poached or illegal or scandal, man, I'm clicking on that and watching that.
It's almost like we become numb of seeing people just shoot giant deer because it's all over Facebook now.
Mm-hmm.
And YouTube, it's just all over.
It's the same old social media thing that you hear a lot of times, like all you see on social media is the best of somebody's life or whatever.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like you envy it or
like
whatever.
Real.
Yeah. Same way with hunting. Guys aren't posting the 100. Most guys, like, aren't posting the 120-inch deer that they killed on the last day.
Yeah.
Whether they were happy with it or not, which is a whole nother issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've, because of what you're talking about, has driven this, because they see everybody else that's only posting those booners that they're killing are those 200-inch deer. And now you have access to everybody across the Midwest that's deer hunting. Anybody with a with an Instagram account can post a picture if they kill a giant deer. So then, like you said, it feels like everybody's killing these. Well, yeah, I mean, if you've got however many thousand people you're following on Instagram, plus all that's being poured into your feed via the algorithm because you like to see big deer, okay, yeah, maybe you see 200-inch deer a year on your feed, but in the whole grand scheme of things, it's still really not that many. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it. Like that's mm-hmm. all you see all the time. So like you said.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You become numb to it.
Yeah, it just seems like everyone's got a 200, but me, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, some of those are old videos that just resurface.
Mm-hmm.
The one video I've seen, I don't know how many times now, it pops
Skyler
up.
Skyler with his big 8-pointer.
Oh, well, that one.
I love watching. I don't care how many times I've seen it. I love watching that video.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the one that our mutual friend from Fairfield had somewhat at his fingertips. That somebody else that's a famous hunter on TV
is. Oh.
Like every time I see that video of that deer, mm-hmm. I just get mad because yep. I know
what actually happened.
How those guys were trying to kill that deer next to a guy that we know who was trying to do it right. Mm-hmm. You know, and every time I see that video, because that was several years ago now, and
that was only like two.
Nah, that's been longer.
It was 2 years ago.
It was no more than three.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
I keep seeing that video pop up.
Because it was when we went to the ATA.
Yeah.
A couple years ago. It was that year.
Yep.
Mm.
That was 2 years ago.
Because I didn't get to run into that said person that was in front of the camera and say, hey, been on any drives lately?
Uh-huh.
Because I was going to.
But like that video just keeps popping up, you know, and that's old now.
Mm-hmm.
But like it just keeps popping up and I'm thinking like there's a giant. But like that's from a few years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep popping up. And that's given another false illusion, you know, that these guys are stumbling onto them everywhere.
Yeah. And that's a whole deal there, too, where how many of these people that have been propped up aren't doing it the right way. And there's been a handful of them get caught. But even those guys, like, they still have their dead set. It's like the Mitch Rompala thing, right?
Oh,
like,
boy.
Whichever side of that you fall on, there are some people that are like, Mitch Rompala truthers that like no matter you could literally show them the actual deer and the skull plate and say look he sawed it in half and whatever modified it
he
right
ain't going to because didn't it burn
right
that's what
but,
they say
like, you could literally show them that and they'd be like oh no that's fake you know what I mean
mm-hmm.
So like take these guys that have been in trouble the guy that got in trouble a few years back now for killing too many deer like
up north
yeah like he's still got a
he's still got a big, giant platform, and people worship the guy.
And a big following. And I understand people make mistakes, and they sure deserve a second chance or whatever. That's one thing. It's another thing to be famous because of what you did,
yes.
And then act like you're sorry about it just because you got caught.
This person we're just now talking about, I feel like he is truly sorry about it, and it has changed.
Right.
Somewhat.
Still did it.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Given the opportunity, again... In a few weeks, would he do it again?
Right. And that's what you don't know. And then and it's like what you were just talking about on that one. You see that video. Everybody in this room knows what happened
mm-hmm.
and what was going on there. But most people who see that or that follow that guy, they don't know what was going on there.
Like,
and how would they?
That guy's on big deer all the time.
Mm-hmm. And then if he gets caught, half those people are still not even going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to still give him the platform. And then he's going to say he's sorry. And again, whether he truly is or not, we don't know.
Yeah. What else are you going to say in that spot?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was just a guy recently.
There wasn't there like a TV host that got busted this
the
year?
Game or something like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He got popped. So did we talk about this on here before?
No.
He had killed.
I know no details on this one.
From what I read, he had killed he drew a Kansas tag. And because out there they have game units.
Mm-hmm.
So he drew a tag in one unit.
And was hunting a different unit,
he
if I remember
killed
right.
a buck in a different unit. Okay.
Yes.
He went to Arkansas and bought a tag for that buck. Ooh. Or Oklahoma, I mean, Oklahoma.
Yeah, it was a
he went to
state.
Oklahoma, bought an Oklahoma tag, tagged that buck with it. Then he went to the unit he was supposed to be hunting
and shot
another one and tagged it with the tag that he had for that unit.
Holy
so
cow.
They got him for shooting a buck in the wrong unit.
Yeah.
Illegal permitting or whatever because he used the out-of-state permit. And then they got him for the bag limit because you can only kill one buck a year in Kansas.
Yeah.
And thankfully, like that guy so far has not. Now, just give it time. Someone will have him on a podcast and it'll be, I'm so sorry.
Give it to middle of deer season.
It'll get 100,000 views because it's this guy. But so far, like sponsors dropped him and people are like washing their hands of this guy as they should. That should be how it is more often, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Again, people mess up. Take the hunting public, for example.
Yeah, that...
The ticket that he got.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's understandable. Like,
that crap happens.
Yeah.
Especially when you're hunting as many states as those guys are. Even in your home state, there's so many laws that change every year. Mm-hmm. Like, any one of us could, if a law changed, could miss it and get some dumb ticket like that. Like, I
petty.
Get that.
A little petty ticket, yeah.
Yeah. So, and for
which
those
is
of
what
you,
that was.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, one of them, in, I think, was Ted?
It was Ted that got the ticket.
I think he got a ticket because he was filming the hunt without a hunting license. If I remember right.
Yeah, and they...
And all he had was a camera.
Yeah, no fire or
but
no weapon.
I could see why they would say he need a hunt license.
Right.
So, because if he did, they could have just handed the gun and he could have shot something too.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had a tag or not.
Right.
I don't know if think he did.
But see, I'm not sure, like in Illinois for that matter, I'm not sure if you have to have a hunt license to film. No idea.
I don't know.
If they thought about it, they would make you.
Exactly, yeah.
Because they could get more money.
Right. So, but that's one of those things that it's like, it's one of those little nuances to a different state or again, even your home state where guys mess up, whatever. Like to me, I that doesn't bother me at all. That could happen to anybody that's filming, especially like us. And
I mean,
and we could, like I just said, we could end up with a ticket for something dumb like that.
What about some city dweller that likes to video birds?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
They got to have a hunting license to run their camera to video their birds eating out of their feeder.
Right.
I mean, like, where do you draw the line there? Like, I don't understand that.
And then, but see, there's that. And then there's a guy who kills a buck in a wrong game unit, tags it from another state.
Purposefully. And then purposefully, tries to cover it up.
Then tries to cover it up. And then goes to and kills another buck, all for money because he's doing it for his TV show.
Yeah.
That is a totally different story to me. And it's, like, you're going to have to really, really convince me on that guy that he deserves a second chance versus somebody who, like...
A petty ticket.
Over some rule that... A very obscure...
Yeah.
Easily oversight. Like, ignorance is no excuse for the law. Okay. But...
Hey, see, they've... I think they even read up on the laws and couldn't find anything that you... Where you could or had to have a license just to film a hunt.
Yeah. And there,
so that's the discretion of the officer at that point.
There's the other thing. If there's anything that falls discretion of the officer and you get a guy who's having a bad day or he just wants to try to make a name for himself and he sees the hunting public rolling into town and he thinks he can get him for anything and he just wants to be a jerk that day.
He's out for you then at that point.
Yeah. So, like, I get that side of it too. But, again, like, the ones and the Alexander buck thing. And I hate even calling it that, the CJ Alexander buck, because it's not.
No.
Like, that's just a giant buck. That's something I also wish would happen. And I've thought about doing it. It's not really what we do. Maybe eventually I'll start something like this. But you've seen from other channels, like, they'll do a video on, like, a certain hunter or, like, a certain buck or whatever. That somebody ought to go and do, and again, maybe it's us, but somebody ought to do a video or start a video series on these bucks that have been poached like that, like potential world records, and just screw the guy that poached him. Like, forget him, but just talk about the deer and the situation around it. Talk to, like, maybe the guy that prosecuted the case or the officer that caught the guy or, like, how what happened, and then talk about the deer. Like, if you could talk to that defense attorney or whatever it was who was watching that deer, like, get his side of the story, and then trying to build the story around the deer. So at least that way...
We, like, can get away from the poacher.
And the animal still gets the respect that it deserves.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think that's what you were getting at when we talked about it before. Like, that animal deserves some respect for what it was as a potential world record, not the guy that ended up poaching it.
Mm-hmm. money can also get you out of a lot of things too.
Yeah.
Like there next to us, there's a guy that got caught. Mm-hmm. And he was able to buy the deer back still. After it was all said and done, he got convicted.
Hmm. Dang.
Still costing 60 grand or something like that.
That's nuts.
But when you have that kind of money.
Yeah, that's the other thing when we were talking about these, some of the bigger TV guys that may be doing some of that kind of stuff.
If they got enough money,
if they got enough money, enough clout, maybe it's the opposite of that officer that wants to make a name for himself and write them a ticket. And yeah, it doesn't take that much money to just look the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there's a lot of that going on. But the ones that, again, really bother me is, like, this guy very obviously did something really stupid and did it on purpose.
Yeah, he knew it and he did it on purpose.
Yeah. And then we're still acting like he's some kind of hero and making a martyr out of him. Like, that video that I saw just hit me the wrong way because I'm like, seriously, we're still on this? Like, why are you still putting this guy out there for people to listen to? I don't care what the guy says at this point.
No.
And it makes me think even less that he's sorry about it, that he keeps going out and doing these things because he's still just riding the
wave.
Exactly.
Trying to get more clout, maybe to get back to where he can go again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And trying to get people to feel sorry for him at this point.
I don't.
No, I don't either. I think he probably deserved more than what he ended up with.
Because it wasn't that bad if I remember right. Like, wasn't it only like $15,000 in fines?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but I was thinking 15 to 20,000 in fines, and then like,
I mean, that's a lot of money, but it should have been way worse.
For what? For if you want to look at it like restitution, he took away a lot more than that potentially from somebody. Heck, Cabela's would have paid that kind of money for
the rack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, okay, take the Dustin Huff buck.
Yes.
Oh, that guy has gone on like a, and I'm not, this is not negative towards him, but like a publicity tour off of that buck. How much money is he making now because he shot that buck?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That if
and all the free product you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How much is that worth? Like more than $20,000.
Potentially, yeah.
Especially if a guy knows what he's doing. Like if you kill a deer like that and you have a little bit of marketing sense to you and you want the attention for it, or like maybe don't necessarily. Maybe it's not that, because that kind of sounds negative, but like if you're okay with getting the attention and you've done all this the right way and you want to try to make some money over the deal, because when the sunshine, or make hay while the sun shines, right? Mm-hmm. Like you could make pretty good money marketing yourself off of that. Mm-hmm. Look at all these guys who've killed like two big deer and now all of a sudden they're big famous consultants or something, charging ungodly money to come out and tell people how to hunt. All right. Okay. Now say you take that guy. What if he poached the deer? Mm-hmm. Then that's even more money that he's taking from people. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, I got no soft spot for that kind of stuff. Like I said, I understand second chances and guys who legitimately like screwed up and they know they did and they're over it and they've moved past it and they moved on with life or whatever. And they did their time, and they got what they deserved out of it, and it's moved on. But the ones that just, like, are living off of the fame from it, no. Nah. Or the ones that keep doing it over and over. Because there's those ones out there, too, that have been caught.
And they still keep going back.
Yeah. And they're just hoping to not get caught again and acting like they're doing everything honest.
Because the there's not enough punishment behind it.
Nope. That's like a lot of other things. If there was a appropriate punishment, it would probably deter a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. To me, it wouldn't do anything for me to hunt and do things like that. But I just have no sympathy for that kind of stuff. Honest mistakes, I understand. Like the hunting public one we talked about. But trespassing, shooting a deer at night, claiming you killed it the right way. Nah. No sympathy.
Yeah, none. I can't remember how exactly was it a night kill?
I believe it was, right?
Oh, I can't remember.
I can't remember.
I can't remember.
I'm kind of glad we don't know.
Yeah.
That's like I said, I tried to avoid that for so long just because it, and I feel like to some extent that kind of waters down your content, like as a content creator, because okay, now you're just doing stuff that's, you're not doing it because you feel like it's worthwhile. You're just doing it because you know it's going to get clicks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're doing it what everyone else is doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know. There, if I was more like that, we'd probably grow faster. Maybe we'd get more people that would subscribe or whatever. But
that's not us.
No, and it's also, it doesn't, those kind of people, I've had this conversation with Austin before. There's people out there that do that kind of stuff, or they like get on the trending stuff, and that's how they build their audience super fast and they get all these followers. But then trends come and go really fast. So if you've built your audience off of a trend, as soon as the trend's gone, you're gone with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you've seen, and we've seen that with even hunting shows, right? There were shows that were trying to copy the stuff that's been successful, whether it be Real True Road Trips or The Crush TV, whatever they were calling it at any given time, any of the Drury show.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Shows, like there's shows that try to ride their coattails and hit whatever the trend is at the time, whether it be like the face painted greasy looking guy, you know what I mean? And then because Kip Campbell was painting his face and he was becoming famous, so now you had 15 other people trying to be that guy. And what happened to all those other 15 people? You never hear from again. Because it's not, mm-hmm, it's not them, it's not honest. It's one thing to set the trend, mm-hmm, or be the reason people want to do that kind of stuff. And then you've built this following that's following you. So now, even though all these other people have tried to jump on your trend and then they fell off, because it was you and it's honest, you still get to build off of that. So, like, just me personally, it's not what we do, and I don't feel like it's us to just go chasing, like, these hot button issues and clicks all the time, which is what I try not to do. So, and people will say, well, you've been talking about this rewilding thing. That's a hot button issue. But again, I feel like that makes a difference,
hopefully.
That's
something big that needs to be talked about.
It could turn into the Wild West.
Yeah.
Literally. And the public land sales out west, that's another thing where I think that would be worth, that was worthwhile, like, to, you know, talk about. I don't know. I think that fell right there where we were kind of in a little break. So I never did an episode on it. But, like, that would be something that I would talk about for sure. Just like this. I don't feel like this is necessarily a hot topic. The poachers obviously are, but I think it's worthwhile to get on here and try to convince people to stop putting these people on a pedestal. If it's gonna make a difference, and maybe people will do things the right way more often.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason they continue to do that is because they've been put on a pedestal. So let's say, mm-hmm, some guy who's like 50-50, he likes hunting, but he also would really like to be famous for hunting, or like to be famous for killing a big deer. And like, okay, now he sees, take someone like us, what we're doing, trying to do it the right way. Okay, we got 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. It's not a ton, but it's not nothing, right? But then you look at this guy like CJ Alexander, who went and poached this one big deer, and now he's plastered everywhere. And he got a little bad press for a little while, but now he's on like his redemption tour and everybody's talking about him again. Like, what's that guy going to do?
Mm-hmm.
He's falling on that side of the fence.
Yeah, people's going to start following him at that point again.
Yeah.
Especially if he finds one and he has an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But is he actually going to kill it right this time?
Yeah, no. Yeah. See, and that's the other thing. What if he kills another big deer, I wouldn't buy it.
No, absolutely not. But he might play it safe and do it right, because he knows that he's going to get checked out hard. Yeah. And it's going to be looked over hard.
Hopefully, though.
You hope, anyway.
Well, and hopefully, like, in his situation, I would like to think his reputation for that kind of stuff is just out the window. I would, mm-hmm, hope everybody would have the same mindset on that. It's it'd be different if it was just rumors or they had no proof of it. But because I worry, though, because of how he's been treated now, that people would be forgiving of it and be like, oh, yeah, he did it the right way, whether he did or not. And that would bother me too. Because the deer as a resource, as something we've been given to shepherd over, I think they deserve more than that.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's too much incentive put on doing that kind of stuff, though, I feel like, because of the way today's media is. And also because you see all these 200-inch deer all the time, people feel like they got to kill one, so they see all the attention people get from killing 200-inch deer, so they're going to just go, that would incentivize just going and killing one so you can get all the attention. That's what happened to that guy. He sees all these people getting all this attention for killing record deer. How else would he know that that's a life-changing, you know what I mean? Because it's been put out there that, hey, if you kill a deer like this, we're going to put you on a big press tour. And I'm, again, not saying that's a bad thing necessarily, but it does incentivize that kind of stuff, because now this guy thinks that's the way to get famous, is just to kill a giant deer, no matter how you do it.
I'm not going on no press tour if I kill one.
Nate will go for you.
Yeah.
You're going to hide
representative.
You're going to hide the rack and burn it in a shed and turn into a hermit?
Yes. No. He'll be sitting in my house, and if you want to see him, come on by.
Let everybody else go on the press tour for you. Yeah. I can see it now, though. Blake kills a giant world record typical buck with his bow, and he says, nope, not going on a press tour.
In the swamps of Michigan.
That's right. So what happens is he wears his gator sunglasses or whatever they are, and he wears his Sitka quarter zip down here, chest
fully
hair poking out.
Unzipped.
And he just stands in the back with his arms crossed, no facial expression, and you take the questions for him.
That's right. You're sitting
at the podium or standing at the podium, and they ask a question. Blake thinks.
And the whole time he's just expressionless and said nothing.
Exactly, yeah. You lean back and whisper to him. Gotcha. And then you answer, I can see it now.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Dude, that would be, we should do some kind of commercial like that. Hilarious. I don't know what we'd promote with it. The show, I guess, but.
You talked about Ron Paula. I got to say, I want that to be real
right. So
bad. Like, I really have a very hard time believing that. Dude, it is. But I want it to be
real. It'd be so awesome if it was real, though.
It's like, yeah. Like I feel like a six-year-old believing in Santa Claus right now. Like, that's what I chalk it up to. Like,
yeah.
In the end, if you think about it, does it make sense? I don't know.
Right.
But
Especially if you look at it.
I want it to be real.
But the thought of it being real would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Like, I really like the idea of a guy that was supposed to have been like just a stone cold killer and really understood how big deer move, at least where he was hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And he killed this slob, and then he realized that he was going to get famous for it. And he's like, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. And he just disappeared. Like, I would respect that tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I don't know.
And see, that wasn't like the only big wide deer he killed. He's killed like multiple just giantly wide deer.
I'm on some Facebook pages where there's some guys that are like wild about this.
Oh, yeah.
And there's these pictures that pop up all the time. And he's sitting behind a giant nine pointer, you know, 150-inch nine pointer. And he looks like he's probably 25 inches wide. And he comes straight off the sides of his head. And it's like, dang, that guy did this a lot. Or he just really killed some big deer that had some wild genetics and people can't handle it.
Or the pictures are fake.
Yeah. And there's that too.
But
they're like, I don't know.
Yeah, I get a kick out of the Facebook and the internet wars over that guy.
Yeah.
Because what I think it is, probably a lot of people are like you, but even farther. Like, they so mm-hmm. bad want it to be true that they cannot have it any other way.
The common sense goes out the door at that
exactly.
point.
Exactly. Like, yeah. You said, you want it to be true,
yeah.
But the whole thing's just super sketchy, right?
Yeah.
And, like, first of all, it was a giant deer anyway. Like,
yeah, it was huge without being 28 inches wide or whatever it was.
Right.
Yeah, he would be the world record typical if it was proven to be true.
But I'm saying even, let's just say that he did alter that rack. Even if you'd put that thing back, it's still a giant, typical deer.
Yes, for sure.
But, again, I think people want it so bad to be true that they forget everything else, so they're like willing to almost fight to the death about it, mm-hmm. and that's the stuff that I get a kick out of on Facebook.
So the best one ever, there's this one guy that posts on one of those pages a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot remember his name, but like, one time I'm probably mindlessly scrolling as I'm trying to fall asleep.
Or at work, probably, more than likely.
There's that too. And there's this one guy had got on there and made this giant accusation.
Hold still while I take this x-ray.
Yeah. This guy got on there and made this giant accusation. He's like, I've studied all the posts from this one guy, and I'm confident that this one guy on here is actually Mitch Rompala, but he's using a different name, and he's baiting us with all these things, trying to prove that he's right, secondhandedly, secretly, uh-huh. And he's like, I know who you are.
And I'm he like, thinks he's found his burner account.
Yeah, I'm like, my gosh, and then that guy was quiet for a while, and I'm like, what the heck?
Mitch got him.
The guy's like, they figured me out again.
Some guy has too much time on his hands to go in and figure all that out, though.
Yeah, like, he was throwing out lots of theories. Like, this guy's posting this and this, and, like, only a certain handful of people were supposed to even know about this. And I'm like, maybe this guy that's posting it is actually Mitch, and he's trying to throw people.
Right.
I don't know. It's the stuff you see on Facebook is wild.
I get a kick too, because you'll see, like, of course the algorithm, if a picture of that buck comes up and you stop and look at it for 2 seconds, then the next like 8 out of 15 posts are going to be of that buck. Mm-hmm. But you'll get some from this group that's like Rompala's rowdy believers or something, and then the next one like Mitch is a fraud. The next Facebook group is like Mitch is a fraud.
The groups are amazing.
It's two totally different things, and there's thousands of people in these groups that like that is what this group is solely dedicated to, either proving that wrong or proving it right.
I'm in both of them just so I can get entertainment.
Oh yeah,
I just like that they pop up in my suggested every now and then, so I get to see them. But that's kind of what we've been talking about, though. Like, look at all those thousands of people that all around this one skeptical buck, right? And I guess
he was never accused of poaching that I'm aware of,
right? Depending on who you ask, like, there's either solid evidence that he did or solid evidence he didn't, right? But even the guys that get caught and there's solid evidence that they did, there's still thousands of people that will follow that guy to the end.
There's another one. What was that, about 15 years ago, that set the world on fire?
Oh, when you said we were going to talk about this, I thought about that guy a little bit. Yeah, I don't know about that. I still don't know what to think about that.
Which one? I guess I missed this.
That was the first, like, really, really, really
big name deer that got caught poaching.
Mm-hmm. And he killed one of the first really big deer.
It was 200,
camera.
And he was on the ground. I'm not going to say his name.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. I don't know. Wasn't he supposed to, like, rode a golf cart over where he wasn't supposed to be or something?
Was it proven, or is it like...
Yeah, he got a ticket.
Oh, yeah.
He had...
I feel like you can say his name if he got a ticket.
We'll say it later.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like he had a...
He knows we're talking about him.
I don't care. I'm not going to do it.
He's not watching.
I don't want no defamation lawsuit, even though he's not going to get it. He couldn't get a penny because I don't have one.
You can have my debt.
Yeah. I'll give you my debt.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly how when it's been so long. Because back out in Kansas, you can hunt on a person's property, I believe, and they give you their tag. Isn't that right?
I am not
That's
sure.
It's possible. Like, you can do that in Illinois now. You can designate
you can
somebody
party
for
hunt.
Your... Well, that, you can designate somebody for your landowner stuff. So.
That's what it was, is a landowner's tag.
Really? I didn't know that.
But he was on his lease ground, I believe.
Okay. And so he wasn't on the landowner's ground.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
And he didn't get a tag, if I remember right. Oh. Don't quote me to it.
Right.
If that's true, I can see how that would be a problem.
Yeah.
It obviously was.
Yeah.
It was like a 200-inch, well over 200.
It was a giant deer.
220-inch deer.
And he was like hiding behind a Christmas tree, and this thing just happened to walk out on the other side of the Christmas tree.
Yeah, he was like going back and forth on which Christmas tree to shoot it between.
Famous guy, you say? I've got a
couple
names in my head.
Oh, yeah, he had a big TV show.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it later.
He shot it like 7 yards or something.
On the ground, and the golf cart's on the other side of the Christmas tree because he's going there scouting, setting up stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
If you guys know who it is, if you guys watching know who it is, comment below.
Yeah.
We'll see if anybody knows. And we'll check you later, but if you think you know who it is, leave a comment.
Yeah, he had a giant following, and he's still fairly relevant. Like, he's on podcast still.
Yeah.
And he's killed multiple big
Same
deer.
Same kind of deal? Like, he got caught.
He's got money, though. He had money, and he's got lots of money.
He seems to have a lot of money.
A lot of money.
So I don't know how.
There's something else there. Like, people, going back to all these 200-inch deer, I heard one of our mutual acquaintances say this one time. Guys with money don't automatically kill big deer, but guys with money that have some hunting sense can kill big deer.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about a lot of these guys that have a bunch of giant slobs, money goes a long way if you know what you're doing. It doesn't just take money.
And know what to look for in ground.
You can know how to hunt and not ever kill a deer like that because they're just not around wherever you can hunt, right? Like some of us are just limited on our properties and what you can hunt. I understand that. And you can have a guy who's got, believe me, I've worked for some, who have a bunch of money and have no clue what they're doing and will never kill anything. And they won't listen to anybody either. But that's a whole other story. But when you take the guy that knows what he's doing and then you give him millions of dollars that he can spend on that kind of stuff, that's when these guys kill all these big deer. And that sets an unrealistic bar, an unrealistic expectation for people also.
Next time you work for one?
We win the Powerball.
That would have been... I tried.
Okay.
But next time you work for one, say, hey, I got a deal. You listen to me on how to kill a deer. You tell me how to make a lot of money so I don't have to work for no more.
Yeah.
And do this.
I like that. I was thinking maybe, hey, let me show you how to do it one time. on your ground. I promise
I like
it can
my
be
idea
done
better.
If you do it this way. Yeah, I mean, that would be more sustainable after
yeah
that. Yeah.
I saw where Bomar said
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Thing. Which he got in a little bit of trouble, right?
He got a ticket on conspiracy to poach.
Yes. And it sounds like his might have been an honest mistake deal.
Yes.
Using an outfitter that ended up being shady. And
yeah.
He came out
and did a whole big thing on that, right?
Kind yeah.
And it was situation, and yeah, I think it was corroborated by some people, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was set up from what I gathered.
I heard that guy say, because I think he has money.
Yeah, he has a big nutrition business. Yeah.
He said that you should go and buy ground in the absolute suckiest place that you can find where nobody's doing anything, and then dump all the money that you can into making that property really good, and you're going to suck everything from everybody else around because nobody else is doing anything.
Yeah,
because
he'll buy like 300 acres, though. Mm-hmm. At least 160.
And I thought about that, and I was like, you know, he's probably right. Like, if you look at a place and everybody, which you can figure this out pretty quickly on aerial maps, if you can see food plots everywhere and mm-hmm stuff, and you can zoom in, you can see, like, big shooting houses and stuff, like, guys are doing something there. He's mm-hmm like, find somewhere that sucks and everybody's poor. Nobody's spending money on anything like this. And he said, you buy that, and you go in there and put in your stuff, and you're going to do well. Now, I've thought about that several times. I was like, he's probably really, really right.
Where are you going to find that around here, though?
Correct.
Well, the other part of that is you can tell all that stuff on the aerial map, but what you can't tell is if
there's any
genetics there that are going to produce. Because you can take an area that's, let's say, got just loaded with 130-inch bucks, and you can, like, say it's that scenario, and you go in and do everything, and you're pulling in all those 130-inch bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, now you're getting them to 5 and 6 year old, but
they might be only 150.
Now maybe they're 150, 160-inch deer. Mm-hmm. So you're still never going to kill 200.
I'm still be happy with that.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm shooting that.
But, like, that's still, like, I see these back to videos and clickbait, right? Which thumbnails are supposed to be kind of clickbaity. It's how the algorithm works, how people get your videos. But it's like the key to killing 200-inch deer. There's no key, one key to killing 200-inch deer. There's so much that goes into that. And yeah, one of the biggest things that people miss is if there's no 200-inch deer in your area,
you're not going to kill one.
Like, yeah, it's not possible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could go in there and do that. And again, you could have some good stuff. And hopefully, maybe grow those deer to be bigger to their full potential. But if their full potential is only 150 inches, you're still never going to kill a 200. Maybe once every 10 years you get a 200 in there, and then you get lucky enough to kill him. But you still have to have that
to be able to kill him. It also helps that he's in Iowa.
That does help. It's all, but it's all location.
Yeah.
Right? So, and you could pick a neighborhood in Iowa where there's no 150-inch bucks, just like you could pick one in Illinois and vice versa. Like, are there more of those neighborhoods with good genetics in southeast Iowa and northeast Iowa? Yeah. Than there are throughout the state of Illinois, probably. But you could pick pockets in Illinois that are going to be just as good as anything anywhere else if you know where you're going, right? There's just not as many of them, and maybe they're not as big a pocket. So there's not as much opportunity. But you still have to have that. Like that, there's no one key to it. But I think that's one of the parts that people miss a lot of times is that you have to have the deer there to be able to kill them. You're not going to food plot. You're not going to mineral, and this is coming from somebody who has a mineral company. you're not going to food plot. You're not going to mineral. You're not going to habitat your way into a 200-inch deer if he's not there anyway. You don't have the genetics.
Well,
you might move some genetics in and then do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a hot topic. And you just have them shipped in from some other state.
Right? Like, if you were going to do that, then you're on to something.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do it the right way, or like the natural way,
you could at least say that you would have the potential to have the biggest, most mature bucks in a large area on your place.
Yep, mm-hmm. you're gonna
whatever that might be.
You should realize that area's potential on your property. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You would think so. Yeah, like as far as that goes,
and be realistic about it too.
Yeah, as far as that goes, I think that would be an awesome strategy because, like you said. And I think there's two sides to that coin, too, though, because if you go take that giant block in Iowa that those guys are on, like, they're all doing it the right way. They're all on the same
page.
All
the neighbors are on the same page.
You're going to have those deer have even more nutrition and more bedding and more stuff like that, right? So there's probably a higher number of mature deer running around because they're also growing them to 5.5, 6.5 years old, right? Versus where even if you do pull those bucks in, okay.
You're still going to have a couple get shot by the neighbors.
A doe's going to drag them out in November, and Bubba is going to walk out there with his orange cap and cigarette and his 12-gauge from 1974, and he's going to kill the thing. And then he's going to drop the tailgate and drive it to town. Like, that's still going to happen occasionally. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of see both sides of that. But, like, as far as the strategy goes for if you're looking for a piece of property, and especially, like, go drive around in August, September, see what you see in the bean fields, right? If there's ag around, and then if you start to see, I've heard Winky talk about that before, like when he's been looking to buy, because the way he kind of got his 900-acre farm up there was like he would go buy satellite farms and then flip those essentially, buy them, sell them, and then buy more ground where he was at. And then 501c3, is that the one I'm looking for?
That's a nonprofit.
Is that a 501? 40, whatever it is, the tax, it's a business capital deal. So, like, if I sell this and I put it back into my...
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the exchange that is. 401.
I'm poor, so I don't know anything about that crap.
Anyways.
I am too.
Anyways, that's how he would do it.
We don't own mineral companies.
We can't all be farmers, Nate.
Crap, I'm really slacking. I'm neither.
So that's what he would do. He would do that, and then you don't pay taxes on the profit if you put that whatever you made on it, you put back into a property. But what he would do is he would go around the neighborhood. He would ask around. He would see what was in the neighborhood because he also said he didn't want to buy a piece of property that he didn't want because what happens if you get stuck with it?
Yeah.
But then like that's how he kind of picked his home base was to build that 900 acres. And even when he was starting, he would like drive around. He would see this block over here, kind of next to his. Like I want this too because there's two 170-inch deer in that field. Like, I know the genetics are here. So,
yeah,
like, there's that part of it, too. If you could do that and find that in a crappy area where nobody else is doing anything.
I see one contributing factor to all that.
Money?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing, because in a crappy area, that ground's still going to be $5,000 an acre.
Yeah.
For you, that you can't get any income off of. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you have to have the money to start with.
Yeah.
Man, I heard a guy, I think I told you guys this one time, fairly famous guy, talking on a podcast about how if more people would just work harder and save more money, they could all own land. Anybody could do it.
Yep. I remember you saying that.
That bothered me big time. Like, you're telling me that these guys working 5-10s, they're working 4-12s and more overtime, or they're working 4-10s in overtime, or they're working 60, 80 hours a week, that if they just And they're doing that just to make ends meet?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just to buy groceries.
On the table?
Yeah.
You're telling me if those guys would just work a little bit harder,
yeah,
they can own ground? Like, you think they don't want to?
Yeah.
They're working way harder than this jack wagon is working.
Yeah.
And they're just putting food on the table. Like, and this guy's like our age, right? So it's not like he's some, and I'm not saying because you're our age, you're dumb. I want to read a comment here in a minute. But, like, let's stop acting like you've been around the block and you know everything about finances and everything like that. And if guys would just work a little bit harder.
He's probably a trust fund baby.
Some people are set up way, 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 way different than others.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Which creates a different mindset, I guess.
Yeah.
They don't understand that some people actually struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to find this comment because it was kind of along those lines and it cracked me up. And when we get enough of these comments, we'll do like...
Is it on one of our stuffs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what'd I do?
No, it was all of us.
Oh.
I think I may have told you guys about it. Basically.
Oh.
It was the guy... I want to read it because... There it is. It had to do with that. I won't mention the guy's handle because, again, why would I do that? It's this was on our Illinois... The one with JB on the
oh, rewilding?
Yeah, the first one we did. Or the second one. The one we did together.
Yeah.
The one we all did. He said, I'm 74 and was hunting here in Illinois since I was 5 years old. Been fishing since I could walk. Have 8-pound bass on my wall. Ate a lot of venison. And fed apples to deer out of my hands. You guys haven't lived long enough to know crap from apple butter, and it shows with your inept attitude. So just so you guys know, I don't know where the threshold is for living long enough to know crap from apple butter, but we haven't met it.
How old was he?
74.
Apparently it's 74.
Well, I don't know, though, because he's been fishing since he could walk. When did he catch that 8-pound bass? Because if that's the mark,
yeah,
all you got to do is catch an 8-pound bass.
I've met that.
Have you caught an 8-pound bass?
Yeah.
Is it on your wall?
No.
Oh.
I let it go.
You're not there.
How are you supposed to prove that? Have you fed deer apples out of your hand and ate a lot of venison?
No, but they used to eat it out of the apple tree in their front yard when I was at home.
I have fed deer apples out of my hand.
Have you?
Seep.
Yeah. At like Grant's farm?
There was a guy up the road when I was a kid had deer in a pen. And looking back, he was a dandy buck, you know. That guy, he'd just walk out there with a sack of apples, and that thing would come running up to the fence. You just poke him through there, and that thing would eat every one you ever gave him.
Yeah. Well, I got to feed an elk the other night, so.
That's right.
Where'd you do that at?
My buddy's house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. It's monstrous. Biggin? Yeah, it's like 370 as a 2-year-old.
Dang.
Is that thing screaming any right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, speaking of that, I got to show you guys something before you leave later.
Okay.
I forget. It's next door.
So we got, what, 2 out of 3 of that guy was talking about?
2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Fed apples, caught 8-pound bass.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What else did he say?
He'd ate a lot of venison.
Well, oh, we've all done that.
We've all done that.
Check.
That guy's cooked a lot.
I probably ate more than the 74-year-old, if we're being honest. Yeah.
So, yeah. Between us, we've hit the mark.
Yeah. What was the other one? Was there another one, though?
I don't know.
I've been fishing since I could walk, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, we did a lot more fishing than we did hunting because, I mean, summertime, we could go fishing.
Mm-hmm. I've had several fish hooks in me.
Yeah.
Does that count?
I think so.
See, that guy's worse for the environment than I am because he took fish out of the environment and put it on his wall. I put it back so he can breed.
But you're not old enough to know crap from apple butter.
Yeah. I'm going to pick apple butter every time over crap.
You think if we set it up 10 out of 10, you'd get it right?
Yes. I can use the sniffer alone.
Well, your inept attitude says otherwise.
Yeah, that guy can suck one for all I care.
Oh, that's awesome. I hope we get more comments like that. I do really appreciate the comments, and those are fun. So you know who you are if you're watching this one. Please
leave
us another one.
Chokes on his apple butter next time.
Let us know how we did this time. Probably not great. How long have we been going? What's it say on the board in there? 52? 57? All right.
Nailed it.
I did want to wrap up with a little bit since we're getting closer to the season. Did you get your new arrows yet?
Ordered. They're on the way.
Awesome. What'd you end up with?
HLRs?
Yes. Victory.
You're only about HLR. 3 months too late.
No joke.
Well, that's nebulical for Nate.
He can make up for lost time, though.
I'm right on time then.
You know what I don't understand? Get this. So,
how is Bo shoots 45 yards every time?
That.
We but, don't know how this.
Uh-oh. Your mic went out or something.
We don't know how there the goes. New one's going to perform.
That's true. It might shoot like 40 on the dot.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, we went over to where he ended up killing his gun buck one day. Well, before he went, shot his bow a little bit. I don't remember why. It's very out of character. But he shot like 3 arrows, and every one of them was low underneath the, at like 20 yards. Remember that? In that bag target?
No.
Yeah. Every one of them was low.
That's believable.
I've seen this guy, from me to him, shoot over 2 deer at 40 yards. I don't understand.
You just, you never know. It's,
what's that arch effect?
It must hasn't, be, it's, yeah, it that's what it is. Yeah,
the arch effect.
Yep. You guys don't set your bows up like that?
You got your zero off.
Tone it down a little bit.
I did see something I'm going to try, though. So, like.
Are you talking about that guy that set the pin at?
Yeah, because, like, on a rifle, you set your 50, you can zero at 200 at 50, depending on your ballistics and all that.
I thought
that.
It was, like, 25.
The cartridge. Maybe it is. Yeah, depends on the gun, right? So, if you set your zero at 200 because the R or at 25, it'll be the same zero at 200 because it works
as long
down.
As you have it set correctly
based on your ballistics,
yeah,
right. What cartridge you're shooting, and
well, as long as it's
grains
not
and
below, yeah,
all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, you said the same thing with a bow essentially, which I don't know what his arrow weight was, I don't know what his draw length was, but he set it up at 50 yards and it was like you aim a foot low every time with your 50 yard pin and it'll hit because of that arch effect or whatever. So
am I going to have to carry a protractor in the tree with me?
You better just carry your bow with you sometime.
Or knock an arrow.
I
an
knew
arrow.
You were going to say that.
That'd be a good idea. I don't know how many times this guy, just looking in the video, Nate's talking, there's his bow hanging on the hanger. Well, looky there. There's no arrow still.
Broad freaking daylight.
Yeah. But I hunted with him one time, the whole time. Not one arrow in the bow from the time we got there till dark.
I was just getting ready to say.
It was November.
We went and hunted in a blind one time in November, and we got in the blind, and he's had his bow sitting up against the blind the whole time with no arrow.
I understand not putting one on in a blind if you're leaning it up against it.
Till he comes by at a trot at 20 yards, and then you're fiddle farting with your arrow.
And I dry fire. Right.
Exactly.
I would at least set the arrow next to the bow so I can pick it up at the same time. But no, his is still in the quiver behind us.
This is not where I was going with this at all, I promise.
I'm like, I can show you guys I have very little faith for this sit.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, why are we here, Nate? We could have went to a different spot. Yeah. If this is all you thought of this hunt, I could have slept in. but anyway, your new arrows.
Yep.
HLR. What's that? Easton?
Victories.
Victories, you said.
Yep.
Victories.
The only reason I was going with them, I had that Bass Pro card worth quite a bit, and I needed something from Bass Pro. I then stock on their website didn't have any Eastons that I really like. It didn't have the new ones.
The 5.0?
Yes. I couldn't find those on stock on their
website. Yeah, those went quick.
So anyway, but you told me these were good arrows. I was wanting to go with Easton because they're completely American made.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I have failed again.
Yeah. So the way I understand
this gift
it,
card was also a benefit from buying so much seed, more than likely.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kickback.
Yeah, kickback.
Probably came with a free hat.
Yeah.
I can tell you exactly how I got that gift card.
Yeah. Seed. Look at his hat.
That's right.
Oh, gosh.
The way I understand it, most of these arrows are partially... Some of them are made overseas, assembled in America, right? Mm-hmm. Other ones will have plants in America and overseas. I think it depends, like
but
aluminum
Easton's like
versus
all
carbon.
100%
but Easton
in America,
is 100%
even
made in America.
American products, if I remember right.
Yeah. So
these are made in Mexico, something in California, if I remember right.
Like which is all the same.
Finished out, basically. Yeah, finished out in California or something. Yeah, for this round, I did go with Victories. Supposed to be good arrows, though. And
yeah.
Then you told me to buy the vanes that look like space shuttles.
Yeah.
And
are you going to build them?
Try.
These were bear shafts you got?
Yep.
Nice.
I can't believe you got bear shafts.
That was the best deal.
That's
of
fairly
course.
Ambitious.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're going to build those arrows is what I'm hearing?
So, but more than likely, because I got the saw and the jig.
You guys have got me figured out.
Yep.
Ain't you got a jig, too?
Yep. And a saw.
Six.
Oh.
Yeah.
12.
We can't put 6 vanes on it. We could.
We could.
I mean, you can.
I'm
sure.
Oh, yeah. You could do it, I'm sure. I got, I was shooting the bigger, I think there's six FMJ Easton 6mm last year. And then I broke that one on the last buck that I shot. So I was down to like, I'm down to 4 or 5. So I just went and got some of the micro diameter full metal jackets that I got to build.
The fours? Yeah. Or fives?
The four. I believe they're the fours. I have to look again for sure. But anyway.
The only reason why I didn't
for
go with fours.
For my 70 pound bow.
The only reason I didn't go with fours is because they say the proponents, like the knocks will break. I've heard of people like knocks breaking. Hmm. And I don't really want that happening when I'm shooting at a deer.
No, preferably not.
Yeah.
I got to look and see because I got the Easton Axis on my other bow. And I don't remember if they're the four or the fives. But those are good shafts.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I was going to see what you ended up buying.
Yep, got those.
Going back with the dead meats on them?
Yeah.
Yep. Nice. I'm going to try to shoot those since they've come on the show and sent us some stuff and been nice. Last year, I got them on my bow and shot them a little bit, but I never got them zeroed. So I ended up going back to the ones I was shooting before. But I'm going to try to shoot those...
Omegas?
Yeah. Or with the bleeders.
Yeah.
So they're 125 grain. I'm going to shoot those on the 80-pound bow, and I'll probably still shoot those Magnus on the 70-pound bow with 100 grains on it. Because they're, like, I got no complaints about what they did last year. They did awesome,
They worked.
Yeah. They freaking broke that one doe's leg in half, so.
Mm-hmm.
And the shaft, or the shaft, the broadhead ferrule was bent afterwards, but, I mean.
It hit a bone.
It's a fairly thick bone. So, yeah. And what I do like about them is.
They have a jig to sharpen.
Lifetime warranty.
Really?
Mm. All I got to do is pay for shipping. They'll send me a new broadhead.
Hmm.
Yeah, pretty nice. So I still got one on my desk I need to send back to them. But anyways, you got anything new? You're going back to your old bow, right?
Yeah.
Well, you never switched. Did you?
I tried switching.
You never did.
And I didn't like it. So I kept the old bow.
Which is the?
The Bowtech SR350.
SR350.
Which is apparently loud if you read comments on Facebook.
No kidding.
Okay, it's going to be loud when the microphone's less than a foot away from the bow.
No kidding. It was not near as like, oh, I saw a video the other day. And I had that thought, like, holy cow, that bow was loud. But I don't remember whose it was. Probably Nate's Elite.
Easy.
Anyways. All right. Well, if there's nothing else new for the greater good, hopefully you guys enjoyed that. If you're still with us, congrats to you and thank you. Go check out our partners, Rax Big Game Supplements, raxmineral.com. All your mineral needs, if you can use it where you're at. Go there, check it out. Minerals, protein blocks. And then you can find your dealers if you want pelletized feed or meal feed. Go do that. There's a dealer list on the website. And Rodney Hawkins, you guys know him. He's been on the show. If you've been with us for a while, you know he's currently our longest standing partner. He's got RG Outdoors, which is his own business, and they've got everything from patio furniture to elevated blinds, to tree stands, to trail cameras, and he's adding stuff all the time. He's got e-bikes now, adding stuff there all the time. He's got a shop in Flora, so if you're local, go check him out. You can find him on Facebook at RG Outdoors. And then Midwest Farm and Land, he's a land specialist with them, so if you're looking to get in the land ownership game like we talked about, or if you're looking to sell something and maybe get something else, he can get you help hooked up with that too. 618-925-3153 is his number. If you're interested in either one of those things, make sure you tell him that we sent you over there. I think that's going to do it for this week. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Again, leave a comment. Let us know what you thought about anything. If you guys got thoughts on any of the stuff we talked about, whether poachers or the Rompala thing or...
Or apple butter.
Or apple butter. Let us know in the comments. Like, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. If you're on YouTube, if you're on Spotify, make sure you follow us. And be on the lookout. We're getting closer to another season of Fall Pursuit, or however I'm going to call that this year. But we'll have some videos coming up on that kind of stuff. So we'll get another Full Draw Friday out one of these days. I don't know. Hopefully I can get one recorded for, well, this will be Monday, so this past week. Hopefully I can get one recorded. But other than that, make sure you stay tuned for everything new coming out. Appreciate you guys listening. We'll see you next time.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine.
So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.